What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Real Bodybuilding Podcast. This is episode number 147, and I am here with a Mr. Olympia champion, Kamal Elgargni. How are you, sir?
Hey, what? I'm really good. It's a pleasure for me to be with you. You broadcast. You know, it's the one of the biggest watch and a lot of big views. So everybody, all the fans, they loves it. So yeah. I'm really happy to be with you guys.
Well, thank you for making the time to come on, man. I wanted to talk to you because you are one of the outliers of our sport. You, for those who don't know, you are 51 years old, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I'm sorry, but being 43 years old and knowing how hard bodybuilding is when you get past 40, I want to start by talking to you about how are you making things work? You know, a lot of people talk about Dexter Jackson, or they talk about Phil Klahar, or they talk about all these guys who obviously have great physiques at their age as well. But I don't hear a lot of people saying Kamal's 51. And how do you keep looking so fresh and young at 51 years old?
To be honest, what I think one of the things I've been blessed, all these people, they pray for me, people that love me. I think this is one of the reasons. Plus, maybe I didn't abuse my body much at the amateur days, okay? I stayed a long time at the amateur days. I was competing like for nearly 25 years just doing amateurs.
Okay.
And as you know, before the IFBB, like before they split to whatever, the IFBB, most of their shows, they are drug tested.
Yeah.
So the top three, we have to get tested. So this is, I think this is one of the reasons that because I haven't, we, as you know, we cannot use much gear. Yeah. We cannot use much stuff. So almost say natural.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I think this is one of the biggest reasons, to be honest. And training smart, I'm not pushing myself really like, because I was limited. I had to be like 85. I was competing like 85 kilos or 90 kilos. I'm not pushing that much to be like heavyweight or whatever. So yeah. They want me. And the thing is, I was competing for Qatar. They hired me to compete for them and represent Qatar. They want me in that kind of class. So yeah. There is no pressure on me. Oh, we need you heavyweight. So to push whatever, a lot of stuff and a lot of gear, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they kept me that kind of fresh. I think this is the biggest reason and the biggest thing that it's helped me to do what I do and improve. When I turned a pro, so I was having a lot of weapons, whatever I say it, that I've never used. I've never like gone crazy. We've never gone that because of what I just said.
Yeah.
So as soon as I attained the pro, we started taking whatever we're taking, and my body's been responding so much and improving, and I'm still improving. So, I mean, I woke up this morning, I said to myself, like, oh my God, I look even better. But it's like, thank God. I've been really thankful, blessed with all these years. And to be honest, comparing me with Dexter Jackson and all these names you just mentioned,
yeah,
to me, this is a really big thing because always see Dexter and all these guys, they are legends.
Yeah,
but I'm one of them now, and that's big to me. That's really big to me.
You deserve it. I mean, your physique is amazing. You just did the Tampa and Texas Pro in the open class and fared very well. A lot of people thought you could have won Tampa. So I mean, that's a huge feather in your cap because Akeem has been as high as top six or five at the Olympia. So
yes,
for some people to think that you were ahead of him is a huge win for you. But I want to go back because I think a lot of people have a lot of confusion about how things work in the Middle East with competing. So yeah. I want to try and delve into it a little bit more and get a little bit more explanation from you. So let's start with, like, when did you start competing in the Middle East? When did you start your competitive days?
Well, I mean, I will tell you exactly. I started competing in 94. I started training in 93.
Yeah.
And my first show was 94. That was in Libya. 94, I was competing like in Libya, and there is a coach, my guy, wrestling in BC, passed away. And he told me, Kamal, I think if you be at the right place, you will be a world champion. So I won my first show in Libya. Took my bag and I left.
How old were you then? How old were you?
I was 22.
22, your first show. Okay.
Yeah, 22 or 23 in my first show. Yes. Yeah. I started late. I didn't start like when I was 16 or 15, but because of like work, my dad is, you know what's the background before the Middle East? No, after school you have to go and learn your trade, because my business family back then, it's all joinery, carpentry. This is my trade actually. I was carpenter with my dad, and then when I went away, so I left Libya and I went to Malta for 3 years, and then I moved to UK. So I was from 98, 97, I was in UK. All these years I was living in UK, so I've been competing and doing that. And then I moved. I want to be honest, I used to compete NABBA when I was in UK, and I won the Britain, I won the overall Britain, I
How
won
much,
the
sorry to interrupt you, Kamal. How much did you weigh? How much did you weigh in your first show, and how much did you weigh in the shows when you were winning in the UK?
My first show was 70 kilos.
So like 160 pounds, I think.
Something like that. And then when I was in UK, it just under 80 kilos.
Now, when you're weighing, are you winning the overalls? Like, are you beating the heavyweights and the super
Yes.
heavy?
Yes. I was winning. I won the UK overall. I was like 80, 78 kilo maybe. I was the shortest class, and then I beat the overall, and I won the overall Europe as well, and I won the overall world, and I won the universe in UK as well in my class. So I won a lot of shows against these big guys. So I've been in a mix from before.
So, and
So
this is all in your early 20s, like 24 to 28 in that time,
yeah,
or
that's about in 20, 26, 27. That's when I moved to UK, and then moved from there. I had a chance to move to Qatar. Qatar, then they were like preparing for the Asian Games in Qatar. They're trying to do something. Qatar is like, they don't have enough athletes, so they don't have that, but they're willing to hire some people to represent them. So my name clicked, one of the names. They invited me to go over there, and then I did guest spots for them. They said, that's it, we want you. So I stayed working with Qatar, competing for them 11 years. In them 11 years, I won the Asian Games 11 years in a row.
Okay,
Yes.
so but that helped listen, that helps me a lot to understand, because I hear all the time that this country or that country pays somebody to stay there and compete, and that's why a lot of Middle Eastern guys don't leave the Middle East to be in the IFBB, because they're getting paid to stay in those countries and compete. So you were paid by Qatar to compete for them to represent them in the Asian Games.
Yes, yes, yes. That's
Can I ask you? I won't ask you specific detail, but are they paying you enough money to have a living wage, or do you also have to work at the same time?
never work,
No.
never work. Hey, Fuad, believe me, Fuad. I mean, I'll tell you exactly the numbers. I'm not hiding anything. So for people to understand, we here like talk open. It doesn't matter. And then I have to give Qatar their right, because they looked after me very well. So when I moved to Qatar, they asked me to compete for them, and I said okay. So I moved over there. I haven't moved over there. They've told me, we want you to compete two shows a year. Asian Championship, that's before, because I went to Qatar 2003, and then they were preparing for the Asian Games. That shows you the country, how really working hard. And there was the Asian Games 2006. So ahead, they prepare ahead to make sure like they win as much medal as they could to win the Asian Games, which is very smart. And that's why we see Qatar the way we've seen it now. I mean, when I went to Qatar 2003, was like nothing there, completely nothing there. And now if you go to Qatar, like, oh my God, man, these people, they work so hard, and their country is like unbelievable.
But when you moved there and there was nothing, and you went from the UK, did you think to yourself, there's nothing here, what am I going to do? Or was the money so good that you had to stay?
Like what I said at the beginning, Fuad, they've told me, you don't have to live here. You
Oh,
come
okay.
from UK. Yes, I was living in UK
Okay.
for 2 years,
Yeah.
and then I go and compete for them, just
Yeah.
to compete for them.
Okay.
Until and then, 2004, I got married, and then so my wife, she went with me to UK, and then we went to Qatar. She said, no, we're gonna stay in Qatar.
Is
She
she from?
loved.
Did your wife?
She's
Is your
from
wife from
Libya.
Qatar?
From Libya.
Oh, from
From
Libya.
Libya.
Okay.
No, from Libya. Yeah, and then she's like, oh, Qatar is better for us. I don't want to stay in UK. I said, okay. So we decide to stay in UK. So 2003, I competed for Qatar, representing Qatar, Asian Championship, and the world championship. I won the Asian championship. That's the first show we did. And then I came second at the world championship. The IFBB was in India, Mumbai. And then since then, I've been competing for Qatar. I won, I think, 5 or 6 times world championship IFBB with Qatar. Like what I said, I won the Asian games all the time. And that's when I met Hadi Shuban and Ali Tabrizi. So I was battling with Hadi then.
Yeah.
Sometimes he beats me. Sometimes I beat him. I beat him a few times. Yeah. He beat me a few times. And then like 2006, when the Asian Games, you see, it's the first time ever bodybuilding is being in the Olympic Games,
yeah,
which is Qatar, they managed, because they hold the Asian Games in Qatar. And I was able to win a gold medal as an Asian game. Yes.
But that wasn't the full Olympics. It was just the Asian Games.
That's the Asian, yes. Yeah. The Asian Games. Yes. It means a lot.
Why do you think bodybuilding never made it to the full Olympics then, if it was already in the Asian Games?
To be honest, they always say, you know, because of the steroids. Because, yeah, as you know, yeah, the Olympic Games all like tested. We got tested. We got negative. We completely clean. So it's we as you know, most of the sport, they use stuff, but they time in what they take in.
Of
as
course.
Simple as that. Yeah, as simple
yeah.
as that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Exactly, we did the same. We time what we take in. We know the stuff, how long it stays in the system, blah, 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 and all these kind of things. But yeah, we won the Asian Games, and then I stayed there. I mean, for us to win gold medal, the IFBB world champion, the prize money from the Olympic Committee, $150,000.
That's great. No,
that's of course. And then you got your
salary. But tell me, wait. Tell me what you were making first, so I know is relative to what you're making. Because you said you tell me, so now I have to ask you, what was Qatar paying you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. To win the world champion, the Olympic Committee, because normally there's no prize money.
Yeah.
There's no prize money. So the Olympic Committee, Qatar, they pay me $150,000
for winning.
Yeah. For the Asian Games, they will give you $50,000 for the for the Asian Championship.
Yeah.
And then you get salary. My salary used to be, I think, $10,000 plus house allowance, car allowance, all my stuff, all my gear, all my supplement. For me, just go wake in the morning, go do my training, come back. But you have to win.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Now, when you say $10,000, is that a month?
That's £1,000 a month. That's a month. My salary.
Yeah.
Yeah, my salary. Plus, everything is paid.
Man, I should have moved there when I was.
Hey, I saw flex in, I remember like 2006 or 2007. So I was on one of the expos because I'm close with Flex, and we said, "Come on, you do this one," because I know Flex for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Why you don't become a pro?" I said, "I'll tell you something. This is what I'm doing." He said, "Can you take me with you?"
that's a great living. And it's funny too, because, you know, here, you know, there are guys at the very top that are close to the top that make 10,000 or more, but nobody pays for their house. Nobody pays for their car. Nobody pays for their food. Nobody pays for their gear. So if you have a salary plus the winnings, plus all of your stuff is being paid for, I mean, what more could you ask for? That's incredible.
Exactly. To be honest, this is what I made it. There's another salary as well. So, because I haven't
there's another salary?
Yes, there's another salary. This is from the Olympic Committee.
Okay.
We get, this is the prize money, if that. And then the top three, the gold medal, the silver medal, and the bronze medal. So if you are a gold medal holder for a year, you will get another salary from the Olympic Committee again, because you are a gold medal holder, another $5,000.
Jeez. A month.
So I get 15, that 5,000 used to go to my wife. So that's her thing.
Just write it in the check, give it to her.
But to be honest, I made myself, and I've made all my this, my gyms now, and my business, whatever, to be honest, made it all in Qatar. I've managed to get all my money together, and I've been there. And to be honest, I really met very good people. They always looked after me. Every win, as you know, when you win and you come back, you'll be having a gift, a very nice watch, very nice this. I mean, if you want to buy a car over there, you go to the dealer. They know who you are. They will give you a very great discount or something like that. It's been a very, very, I think 10 or 11 years, I say, with Qatar. It's been very, very grateful over there. So it's very, very good. I've been lucky. So there's not many people that had that chance. So for me, like what I said, I've been blessed.
So that answers quite a lot of questions, because a lot of people are saying like, oh, why are so many people from the Middle East look so good, and why is bodybuilding so big over there? It must be their genetics. And yes, it must be genetics, but if there's such an incentive to do well, then you're going to try a lot harder. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to invest more time, because that setup that you're talking about sounds like a lot of professional sports here. I mean, it's not as much money, but the way that you're taken care of makes you want to be better. So, because there's a lot of incentive to live and actually make money and do well, whereas here, there's nothing like that. You might get a contract from a sponsor, you get a little bit of prize money, but there's nobody really taking care of you the way you seem to be taken care of there. And there's no little perks like going to buy a car or going to, free watches or this or that. There's none of that here. So, how do you find the difference competing here and competing there and having all those perks? Like, did you feel like it's worth it, or you miss it, or where are you on that?
To be honest, miss it? Yes, I miss it, but it's worth it for me, to be honest, because I did what I have to do. I'll say I made it now. For me, thank God. I mean, I have three gyms, two big gyms back home in Libya. I have my gym in UK, and I have some properties around me. I thank God. I'll say I made it. Okay. For now, I'm doing it for myself because I've never tasted to be as a pro. What does it look like? And I just, when I turned to pro, that's the reason I turned to pro. I said, okay, now I'm gonna do it. I want to see what I do if I'm a pro. And I used to compete with a lot of pros at the amateur days. I mean, I beat a lot of them as well. And then they turn a pro and they are the pro. So that proves that the first pro shows I did, which is the Arnold Classic, and I won the Arnold Classic from the first time, and then qualified me to the Olympia, come third, first Olympia, second Olympia. I won the Olympia. So. And then this time I'm trying to do I tried to do the Open, and I did very well at the Open. So for me, I've always challenged, always challenged. I had a lot of people who are I had a lot of people said, Kamal, you won the world champion. That's 2013. Said, Kamal, that's it, you finish. That's it, you're not gonna be. For me, no. I'm never, ever, ever listen to these people. I don't care. I've got nothing to lose. I feel good, I feel healthy. Always there's something new for me, just go and chase it. So
It's incredible.
it's been great,
Let
yes.
me ask you, just seeing from both perspectives, and I want to go back to the drug testing just for a second, but before we go back there, I want to ask you, looking at from both perspectives, do you think younger bodybuilders here would invest more time and learn more and be more disciplined and be more invested in bodybuilding as a whole if we had that type of incentive or that type of thing to look forward to? Where knowing if you were good or if you were winning, that you would really be rewarded.
Well, to be honest, I mean, you should get really more rewarded because you know what we get, it's at the moment is nothing. Like what I said, you have to be at the top to make money. So like what I said, I was at the top winning gold medals for Qatar, so that's why I'm getting that money. But if we compare the shows or the amateur shows in the Middle East, in our because I used to hold like in Libya as well. I used to hold like some. I did some shows. I
You
had Libyan
promote, you
shows.
promoted, you promoted your own
I
shows.
promote. Yeah, I promoted some shows after the Libyan Revolution. I gave the prize money for the amateur for the winner $10,000, and then the second $8,000, and I all the top 10 they will go with the good money, and we paid for everything: their tickets, their food, their flights, everything. I got a sponsor. I got like sponsor from the government as well. So the governments, they help. So,
I see.
yeah, with the prize money here, it's very low. I mean, to be honest, it should make it a little bit better for the youngsters when they make it. At least they make some money. They know they can put it in the right place and they start their business. Because at the end of the day, just bodybuilding you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
You're not going to make nothing. You have to do a few other things, especially if you have family. I mean, I've got family. I've got four kids, and big family is not like that. So if it's just bodybuilding, it's bad. And we had an example when is the COVID hits.
Yeah.
Most of the sponsors, they dropped their athletes.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of athletes have been suffering. They had a lot of problems. So you have to make sure. Sometimes people, they say there's no plan P. No, there is plan B and C and D and whatever. Yeah. I don't believe in that shit.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it has to be rewarded. It has to be, I think, more than what we get at the moment.
But let me ask you this though, because it is a big difference. The government here is not going to contribute to a bodybuilding show. If the government in Qatar or in Libya, for example, didn't give you money, like subsidize the show, would you still have enough money to give them the money, the kind of money you were giving them? Because
100%.
Well, because
100%, yes.
I only say that because promoters here will say, look, there's only so much money to go around. So I guess what I'm asking, because I promote my own shows here. I guess what I'm asking is, when you held a show in Libya, was there a lot of sponsors and a lot of people coming to the show to buy tickets? Like, did you make a lot of money that way?
We, to be honest, we do the show not because of money. We don't make money. We do the show for the love of the sport, to be honest. Okay. Zero.
That's kind of what I'm doing zero. Now. I don't make a lot of money promoting my shows. But I'm trying to think for pro shows or even the top amateur shows, like the big, big shows. If the government didn't contribute to your show, would you have enough money to give the athletes, but also keep some for yourself? Or did you just give it all to the athletes?
We give it all to the athletes, to be honest. When I did the shows, we gave it all to the athletes. Whatever we made, we gave it to the athletes. I'm not making myself. I mean, I do this like what I said. Bodybuilding for me. That's mm-hmm. I'm talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Bodybuilding has made me. Whatever I got now, everything's from bodybuilding. So for me, I have to give back to bodybuilding because I have some other sources. Where does my money come from? I mean, sure. to make money from a show like $10,000 or $15,000, that's not a money. That's not money to make from a show. The headache from the shows, it's more than what you make this money. So to be honest, we never ever put, oh, I'm going to make money from the show. No. We give a lot. We bring the best trophies that we could. We buy everything and then we give it away. In this case, when we do a good show, for a few years, maybe after, you will have a big numbers, you start make money. But I'm never ever taught if I hold a show to make money from a first show. No. So we build it up and then maybe later on, if we made money, fair enough. If not, it's not a big deal. Yeah. But there is a sponsors over there. Like, I mean, there is a sponsor. We could make some money. So whatever we get from the sponsors, we give it away.
Sure.
So for me, I never ever had any. Sometimes I pay even from my own pocket and I just spend it to give it to them. Yes. I mean, at the moment we stopped because of the, of the problems in Libya and after the revolution still is not stable. One day yes, one day no. And it's not safe for me to do anything there. If I want to do something, I want to make it best and top and good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand that. Do you still have a home in Libya or no?
Yes. Yes. Because all my family over there. And to be honest, I'm just nearly, hopefully I'll be finishing my building next summer for me. I'm just building some for me and my kids, apartments and all that. So yeah, I have all my family over there, my mom and dad and brothers.
So I don't want to get too much into politics, but I'm just curious because of how things went down. How did that affect your family or affect you when the Libyan revolution happened?
When the Libyan revolution happened, we had some issues. They took my dad to prison and because we were against Gaddafi. I was against Gaddafi as well.
Yeah.
So we're gonna, so they see me on TV, they see me in the news. So they went straight to my dad's house. They took my dad.
No.
But thank God. Yeah, man. They took my dad and took him away. And luckily, we know a few people. So we managed to get him out. And then I managed to get all my family to Qatar. And then we stayed there until the revolution ended.
Yeah.
And then we'd be, but it's still a mess. But thank God, I mean, it's been a mess, to be honest. It's been not what we wanted the revolution for. I mean, that's why we feel really sorry after all these people died and they gave their life for the freedom and then still is not stable. We feel really shamed. I don't know what's happening, but nobody knows when and when's going to be good.
Yeah.
So
I just ask because, you know, we see a lot of things on the news here. So I'm just curious just to hear from somebody firsthand how it felt to go through it or their family to go through it.
To be honest, it doesn't sound as bad as it is because I was there like just 6 weeks before the Tampa Pro. I took them my family, so I was there with my family. It kicked off maybe four or five times.
Oh my god.
Militia against each other. So my kids, they've never seen this. They was like worried. Oh my god, what's going on? They shut the airport and people there, they go, used, ah, that's all right. The night will be, everything is fine. They go, yeah. people they get used to us. So that's why there's the two of them, they fight against each other. Everybody brings their group, bang, bang. I said, but this is tanks in the street. This is like big fight.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. At night will be okay. And then, yes, it comes at night like there's nothing happened. People are walking normal, come out normal.
It's crazy. You know, it's crazy when I hear things like, because my aunt came to visit from Lebanon. Just, I don't know, 4 months ago she was here. She was here for like 4 or 5 months and then she left about 4 months ago. And she's describing things like that happening from time to time with guns and this and that. And it sounds so strange to us because, you know how it is here. You know what I mean?
I know.
But she lives with it. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Things happen like this. People, they stay in their houses, they let them fight against each other. I mean, sometimes you're not lucky, you get like some stuff falling into your house or whatever because they shoot in big crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, sometimes people, they get injured, they get hit, they get killed, few people. But back to normal the next day and here we go.
Oh my God, it's so crazy.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
So I want to go back. You said something about the drug testing. So. Yeah. Are you, when you're drug tested, are you, you said, you almost made it sound like you're allowed to take a little bit of stuff, but not a lot of stuff. So yes. when they drug test, if you don't mind me asking, when they drug test you, are you 100% clean or are you allowed like a certain level of like hormones or like, how is the drug testing work there?
100% clean.
Okay.
100% clean. So what we do, we don't take the stuff, like we take fast acting stuff.
Yeah.
For example, propionate, some tablets, some this, and we train hard, do a lot of cardio. We're not allowed to take any diuretics because it's nothing. Everything goes natural. But what we do a test before actually we go to the trial test before we go to the show.
Okay.
Make sure everything is fine. We clean, and then when we go to the show, we know it's clean. And the top three every time they get tested.
But you're taking a little bit of gear before. You're just making sure it's out of your system.
Yes, out of my system, yes. Because, you know, every old gear, they've got a time limit in your system, stays in your system. For example, you cannot touch Deca. Decadrobaline stays two years. Forget about it.
Yeah.
And then maybe you start with a lit test.
Yeah.
At the beginning, anatheosis, so that stays 3 months in your system. And then you finish, you start with whatever, change it to propionate. And then you take other bits and bobs. You need to know exactly. There is all details
Is
there. You can find, and then you do it.
So you did this. So you did this for how long? Like, how old were you doing all? Because that's not, because you're not truly natural. They're natural shows, but you're not truly natural because you're taking stuff before.
Yes,
so,
yes, of course.
But obviously you have to take less. So you probably didn't take a lot. But how long did you do that for? Like, what age were you when you stopped doing the natural shows? And then was it when you turned pro and moved to America?
Yes. No, I moved to America just now. That's, I was doing this for about 10 years.
Okay.
I would say till my age. From 32 to 33, and then I had 4 years because they banned me for 4 years. They don't want to give me broke out and on politics from 2013, and then till 2017.
Yeah.
They don't want to give me my pro card because of the switch. I don't want to be competing for the amateur. Yeah, okay. So I don't want to be competing for the amateur.
Yeah.
They said, no, you've been tested positive. I said, I've never been tested positive because most of the shows, like the Arab Games, I remember the Arab Games in Qatar, they had a problem. The Federation of the IFBB with the WADA, they had a problem. They need to test every single athlete, which has never happened normally, random or the top three. So yeah. They had a problem. They've told them, actually from Rafael and what's his name, out of him, they've told them, nobody gives anything, any testing. Yeah. So the WADA, they've gone hard on us. They banned every single one.
Wow.
They banned everyone because he said you escaped the testing.
Yeah.
So even our federation next day, because it was in Qatar, we went to them and said, we clean, come on, test us. I don't care about the other athletes. I said, no, it's done now. You're positive because you escaped the day of the with the court. I said, if we have something, it's gonna stay on us. So they gave us banned, they banned us, and then we applied, we did an appeal, we reduced it, and then the water said, just my case, they said, No, we not accepted your appeal, so you're going to be banned for 4 years. They've done a lot of, I don't know who's behind this. I don't know who's behind. There's somebody behind my case.
Is it because they were trying to keep you in Qatar? They didn't want you to switch? So they're trying to hold you back?
Probably. To keep me in Qatar or to keep me the amateur.
Yeah.
They don't want me to go and, they don't want me to be as a pro. Probably could be that because we fight it with my solicitor. I need the paperwork from WADA. Where are they? I need to see them. And then I mean, 2013, when I competed for Libya, not for Qatar, because I finished with Qatar. I competed for Libya as a first time to compete for Libya. I did the world champion. I said, why you sending all this paperwork to Qatar? I'm not on a Qatari athlete. I'm a Libyan athlete. Send it to Libyan community, Libya. Yeah. They never did. So that's when I spoke to Mr. Jimanian. And I've told him about my situation. That's what I wanted. He actually had an interview, like meeting with me, with Rafael, with him about my. He told him, I need Canales' paperwork. I need to see it.
Yeah.
So, Rafael, he tried to threaten Jim Manning. He said, oh, don't worry about it. The WADA would be hard on you. They would shut your federation, blah, blah, blah. He said, we got nothing to do with WADA.
Yeah.
So Rafael, I think he's involved. He's one of the guys, he doesn't want me to. And then the shame after that, when I finish it, then they send me an email and said, hey, Kamal, if you want to compete us with the Elite Pro, and I've showed Mr. Jimanian the email. I showed him the email.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, this is crazy.
So they're playing. Don't want me. Yeah.
They're
playing games with your career, pretty much.
Yes, 100%. So, that took me nearly 4 years.
So for the 4 years, you're not competing at all. Are you still being paid in any way?
No. 2 years, Qatar, they paid me. They said, go ahead. And then when I said not competing, for me, I need to move back to UK. So what I did when I moved back to UK, I bought my gym. I bought a gym over there. Okay. So I bought, which is the Better Body Gym in UK.
Okay.
I bought that gym. I refurbished the whole lot. I was like using the gym and everything. And I started prepping because they were like promising me, definitely we're going to give you the pro card, it's just to sort out the problem, to cover our face, to cover our shit. It's all bullshit. So I was training for 2 years, prepping for 2 years.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I must give a lot of thanks to Mr. Jim Manning. I spoke to him one day. I said, hey, Mr. Jim, I've been preparing for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I just moved to Qatar, to UK. I need to step on the stage because of my business. I need people to know that I'm back here. Yeah. It's going to be for my business.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what he said to me? He said to me, Kamal, go and compete. And then when you sort your paperwork out, you are come with us. And I said, thank you so much. I mean, for me to hear from the chairman, it's a lot. I mean, he's really, really helped me a lot. So I did the BCA or something, that new federation.
Yeah, I remember the PCA, yeah.
Yeah, BCA, they took me as a pro.
Yeah.
And I did that show. I come second into that show. So, and then the split has happened between the federation. To be honest, within a few weeks, Mr. Jim sent me my pro card. He said, there we go, you deserve your card. We, like what I said, we applied for the Arnold Classic and I got accepted.
So that was 2017. How old were you, 2017?
I think it was 40, 45, 46.
Come on.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Your first show as a pro in the IFBB, I should say, you were 45 years old.
Yes.
That's incredible, man. Like you,
yeah.
and where did you took, I think you said you took third at the Arnold?
No, I won the Arnold.
Oh, you won the Arnold, your first show.
Yeah, I won, First show, yes, I won the Arnold.
Who did
I
you
mean,
beat?
that year,
Who did you beat at that show? Who was the top three? Do you remember?
yeah, I mean, I beat Jose Raymond.
Oh my God, that's a
I beat David Hungry.
Jeez.
I beat, yeah, and I beat Guy Cesarino.
Guys.
guy's gonna. I mean, the Portuguese guy. I mean, that's. I've never met these guys. I met them there. To be honest, at that show, it was like, where the hell you come from?
Yeah.
And
wow, man.
Samir Trudy was there as well. Samir Trudy was he came third.
Yeah.
And what's the guy who comes second, they call him the tank. I forgot. I haven't seen him competed anymore, to be honest.
I just want
it
to
was
see.
A big it's a big
see.
Lineup.
So I'm gonna show people your physique. Because I have a lot of people that watch my show that aren't necessarily like hard bodybuilding fans. So I'm gonna show people what your physique looks like. This is you in 2017. So is this the 27th?
That's 2017, yes.
Dude, you don't look like you're 45. You look like you're 25. What is this?
Yeah,
what are these? What are these genetics that you have? It's like even your face, like you don't look 45 years old.
No. Yeah, I mean, thank God. This I mean, even Arnold, when he saw me, when he gave me the trophy, like as you see, and he just like, come on, what have you been? We haven't seen this physiques for a long time. So, yeah, I mean, I was really blessed from first year after all what happened to win the Arnold. Just like, wow, that's crazy. Really
so what
crazy.
So what happened? How did it feel to meet Arnold coming from? Have you ever met Arnold before? Or was it the first time?
I mean, I see him, but not that close. Not that close.
How did it feel to go from the Middle East competing there to stepping on stage in America and beating everybody and meeting art? Like, is this like a huge thing for you? Like all of a sudden you're like top of the world.
Oh God, man. It's for a pro shows because I did the amateur Arnold as well. I won the amateur Arnold as well.
Okay.
But in Ohio, but I mean, for me as a first pro shows to win and get Arnold with a trophy to bring it to me, even if you see one direction that me, I was looking at him, we got him. was really crazy. I mean, I was like, oh my God. That's what I said. Oh my God. Nah, it felt really, it's unbelievable. I mean, I can't, with my career, whatever I did, and then you come to the Arnold, just like, oh man, it's unbelievable.
Was your family there with you, or was your family back home?
No, they are in UK. So that's the thing is, to be honest, my family, they never saw any pro shows of me. They've seen a little bit of amateur shows. This is in Qatar. And then when I moved to UK, we got back to UK because of the restriction, the COVID, traveling. They never, the first show they saw me at Tampa and the, actually Texas.
Yeah,
that was great. That was a great man. It's just hearing my little kids, come on, Baba, come on, Baba. Shout
yeah, yeah.
Oh man, it's a very, very, very good to be around your family, because I mean, my wife and my kids, my wife especially, she does a lot. I mean, she's got a big, huge part of that. I mean, she does a lot.
Is your wife a stay at home wife, or does she work as well?
No, she's a home wife. Yes, she's a home
wife. And you have four kids. How old are they?
Four kids. The oldest is seven, just turned 17, and then I've got 15, and then 10, and the little one's 6.
Are any of them, are they boys or girls?
Yeah, three boys, and then I've got one girl. The one that's 10 years old is a girl, and the top one is the older one, 17, Mohammed. He's a boy, and then Ilyas, and then Jenna, and then Ois.
Do they have your genetics?
I mean, I think so. I think my older son, he's into it now, and he's in training, and he's trying to. I think they look. I think my wife, she told me the little one, the little one, because I got big calves. He's got a big calves, and he's like, you can tell when he flexes them, like, oh, there's a calf over there. But the older one, he's into it big time. And I take him with me, to be honest, to the gym. And he loves the gym. And he loves the workout.
Yeah.
So he's trying to have some, like, nutrition diets with it as well. I can tell he's on it.
So he wants to be a bodybuilder. Are you going to help him be a bodybuilder? Do you want him to be a bodybuilder? How do you feel about that?
No. I mean, I will help him to have a nice physique. Yeah. But to be honest with me, he's good at his study as well. education first, and then if he chose to go full time, I'll have to help
him. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
but you
as
know,
you know, as you know, Fuad, sorry, there's a lot of coaches there. Like they think they are coaches, and a lot of bad things. But I have to have him around me to make sure everything is good for him.
But if it's your choice, you don't want him to be a bodybuilder.
No, because I know, and you know as well. There's no money in bodybuilding. There's no money in bodybuilding. So,
well, okay. There's money, but it's hard to get.
Yeah, you have to be at the top. You have to be at the top to make it. Yes. So, for the youngsters, like it's gonna be less if you are like trained 3-4 years and then you become like Nick Walker.
That doesn't happen very often. No, but
exactly.
It's funny, you know, most people I know that are bodybuilders, most men that I know, don't necessarily want their sons to be bodybuilders. It's almost like, like if I don't have any kids, but if I had a son, I would feel like I did this so that he doesn't have to. You know what I mean? Like if I did bodybuilding and I made money in bodybuilding, I would do it so that he could do something better than bodybuilding. Is that kind of how you feel?
It's exactly how it feels. But for me, I take him to the gym. He trains with me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I give him like, well, he takes my supplement. And he takes all my protein and all that. And I sometimes say, hey, don't take too much. Yeah. He's like creatine and all this gluten, whatever. He takes that stuff. I said, hey, that's not all the time. And sometimes he drinks it with every single shave. No, this is when he train, whatever. I help him. I want him to have that kind of physique or whatever. But for me, first, education.
Yeah.
Finish. And then when you finish, you have your like certificate or whatever. And then if you think, oh, you want to go ahead, I cannot stop him because,
of course,
you know, he can't stop. So I'll be there for him. I'll help him.
Yeah.
And I would love to. Maybe within 3-4 years, I'll be on stage with him.
That, well, with the way your physique is looking, you're going to still be competing.
So I'd love to. It's the end of the day. I'm having fun. I'm not feeling whatever, so I feel good. Why not? It's something like we're gonna show to the youngsters. We are as an example, okay? As we see at the moment with the youngsters, they don't really take it serious. They take it. It's a shame. Like they need everything fast. No, there's not just bodybuilding. You've got bodybuilding, you've got lifestyle, you've got business, you've got family. So we're trying to give that face to our sport because we love our sport. I mean, this, like what I said, I feel like I have to give back for this sport because this sport has made me. So why not? I mean, like what you see now, Hunter Labrada and Lebrada as well.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to see, man. It's a great feeling. Definitely. Really, really great feeling, and they work together. They are in the bodybuilding industry, so it's good. So why not?
Yeah,
I could be there.
So I want to go back to the age thing. So 45, you win the Arnold, and you attribute a lot of your health to not taking so much or taking very, very little coming up through the ranks. Do you have like, do you get blood work done regularly? Do you have any worry? And not to go like kind of a dark area, but just, you know, I have to get into this because a lot of people have passed away in the last couple of years, and a lot of fans that watch the sport and people that are involved in the sport say, you know, maybe bodybuilders shouldn't compete past a certain age. Are you very, very health conscious? Do you get regular checkups? Are you getting heart checkups? Are you getting everything checked all the time to make sure you're 100% fine?
Yes, I do. I mean, I do blood work mostly nearly every 3 months, every 6 months probably. Plus, if I travel, sometimes we travel a lot. We travel, for example, I did one in UK, and then I got invited to Turkey. And then these guys invited me. So they involved with the clinics and all this medicine and that. Said, come on, what do you want to like check up blood work and everything? Said, yeah, of course. So I just did one after maybe a month, done another one. So when I have a chance to do something like that, I'll jump and do it. And I've got blood work is going to be done actually next week. No, I do my blood work all the time. I've always been thankful, always been fine. I've never had any issues.
And everything's always good for you. You don't have anything that you need to fix or work on, or like everything's been pretty good for you all the way through.
No, Fuad, really, really, for me, to be honest,
yeah,
very small doses I take. I don't take much. Even sometimes I'm gonna say it now. Chrissy tells me take four, I take three. Take whatever. I go a little bit less. It works for me. I see it fine. I mean, I'm not that kind of person. Like what I said, I'm not gonna be like 250 pounds. No. Yeah. It's not me. So I'm happy with my weight. A little bit extra weight I could do. It's fine. But I'm not. I train really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
I don't really go to the gym and just like whatever I do. But I really train the old school high volume.
Yeah.
It's not to the failure, but until. Clearly enough.
Sorry to interrupt you again. I want to add, there's a couple of reasons I think we can get into it a little bit about why you're still healthy at 51. And one of them is the training. So I've talked to Nick about it, and I know you and Nick train together now or sometimes. Nick said you train very high volume, and he described it to me, and it's a little bit more than I used to do. And I know other guys that train high volume, but I think the main thing is you don't train to failure.
No, not to failure.
You know, there's been some recent studies that have come out that said you don't necessarily have to go to failure to still stimulate the muscle and get it to grow. And I'm wondering if maybe not taxing your body and not pushing it to that very, very limit has actually kept you healthier.
100%. 100%.
Do you have any injuries? Have you dealt with any injuries? Or have you been pretty healthy the whole way through?
Thank God. I've never, ever had any injury. I had one probably injuries. I had a tear in my calf in 2018 at the Olympia. It's not training.
Yeah.
Just I was like at the room, me and Chris, I'm flexing, and my calf just popped.
Oh, shit.
And I wouldn't say this is injury from training. And I say this is, you know, what is it called? The devil eye.
I apologize. My dog's here. Go. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, maybe you kept your dog hungry. Come on, they need some food. give him some ice.
No, I had to keep him here because he's all by himself. But my my wife just came home, so I'm going to tell her to come get him. I apologize. So you popped your calf, getting ready for the Olympia in the hotel room.
In the hotel room, yes. And I was like, pop, poof. And I was like, Chris, what's happening? I said, did you hear it? Because it did make a sound like bang.
Wow.
He said, oh, Jesus, I thought you had heart attack. I said, no, my calf.
So oh, my God.
That's three days before the show. Thank God. I mean, if it wasn't Chris with me, I think I would be pulled out. I couldn't even walk. So we had Derek, what's his name? Derek Farnsworth. Farnsworth. Yeah. So he worked in me. So it's then we kept the inflammation because started a little bit swollen. And then, so we kept it. I can be, we didn't say nothing about it until we did the show. And then the next day I said to Chris, hey, I need them tablets. He was giving me some tablets, antibiotic. I don't know what kind of tablets. I said, I need these tablets. He said, No. Go to the doctor because I gave you enough. It could hurt your kidneys. I went straight to the doctors, checked it. It's a very big tear. But with a tan, couldn't see it. And then I saw the blood was all down. But
You saw the bruising after with the bruising. The tan was gone.
Yeah, yeah.
The
bruising, the blood is all down. It took me, I think, even the doctor hold me. I was going back to UK. And I took say, you can't fly because it's going to be very bad swollen.
That's
so
right.
I had to stay 2 weeks after that here until it's going down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I went back. But to be honest, it's fine. And you can't even see it now. I had an injury, but you can't even see it.
So
it worked.
So going to your training, when you say I train very hard, but I don't train to failure, can you just give me, let's take one exercise and I just want to know what it looks like. So if we took like, say you're doing chest and you're doing like incline dumbbell press.
Yeah.
How many sets and what do they look like weight wise? Like how many sets would you do of that one exercise?
Okay. For one exercise, it depends because if I start like normally I start with a pec deck, you get really stretched, get really warm up.
Yeah.
Get warm. So for example, if I do the next exercise as like what you said, the dumbbell press.
Yeah.
So I do a first or two exercises. two sets, just to feel the what they call it, the weights, and to get this set up the weights.
Yeah.
And then I will jump to the my maximum. I do 15 reps. For example, so, maybe I'll do like 50 kg.
Yeah.
I'll do like three working sets, 15 or 20 reps, and then I'm done.
But let me ask you, so the first two sets, you're just getting kind of like a feeder set, like a warm-up almost? Set.
Yes, yes.
And you're, let's say you're doing like 30 kg for 10 reps, maybe, just to feel it?
No. Yeah, the first two, yes.
Yeah, the first two.
Yes, 10.
Then you'll go to 50 kg, which is like 120 pounds, I guess, or something, somewhere close to that. And you're going to do it for 15 reps. Now, at 15 reps, if you can do more reps, you just stop at 15 regardless?
No, I do 20. If I could do more, the last one I do 20. But the technique of my training, they're not like this push, lock up.
Yeah.
Lock up. For me, the lock, it's go all the way up and squeeze.
Yeah.
Down, squeeze, one, two, down. So for me, all lock all the way. So I never do like the half rep.
But you still are going to failure then. So you're still going like 20 reps. You can't do 21.
I do 20. That's maximum. I could do 21. I could do 25.
Oh, but you won't go past 20.
No. I wouldn't. Okay, I only go past my 20. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
This is. It has to be three working sets for every single exercise.
Yeah, that's a lot of volume. Because how many exercises are you doing? Like for chest,
so,
how many?
For chest, I do maybe maximum five.
It's like you're doing 15 working sets.
Yeah, maximum. Wow. So
The warm up. And then you're probably doing two warm ups for each exercise, or one or two warm ups for each exercise.
For each exercise, like for each one, to get to the weight I do. Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Have you ever considered? I mean, not that you should, because it's working for you. But have you ever considered reducing the volume? Have you ever tried reducing the volume and see what your results were? Have you never? This is just the way you like to train.
This is the I've did sometimes. I did like 10 reps, and
yeah.
I feel like no. I feel really good in this. I feel very, okay. very, very good.
Yeah. Well, it's working. So I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I'm just asking. But and I also wonder, maybe doing the 15 to 20 rep thing, even though it's more volume, but because it's a lighter weight, maybe that's also why you haven't had any injuries. Very strict form. Because if we think about everything you said, very strict form, higher volume, but a little bit lighter weight, because you're not doing, you know, because if you did like six reps, you might do like 80 kilogram dumbbells, and then you have a higher risk of injury. So
that's
those,
the problem, yes.
Yeah, so those two things. And then the third thing would be you're not going to complete failure on your working sets, so you're not taxing your body to the very, very limit.
Exactly.
So these things are all kind of keeping you healthy.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel really good on them. But it's like every now and then, like we'll say, okay, for one set, not always.
Yeah.
We go like maybe, for example, I did it with Nick the other day. So he said he wants to do 20. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, let's do 20. So I know he could do more. So I took some weight from, he was doing like leg press. So I took one plate off. So it's not like 11, instead of 12, 11.
Yeah.
And he did 20. I said, no, stay there. Have a breathe. I made him, he said he wants to do 20. I made him do 30. So he's like, wow. So, I know, Fuad, as well, when you see somebody struggling or he's doing it easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy, easy. Well, like makes it look easy.
Yes.
You can tell, you can get more out of him.
Yes.
So it's by the experience, you know, even the shake with the legs, or I don't like when they start shaking and that's going to be injury there. Yeah. So we reduce, we do more reps. So we watching each other. I mean, to be honest, me and Nick, we're working really, really well. I'm happy training with him. He's happy training with me. So probably from next week, we're going to kick on to the Olympia together. We push as much as we can. And I want to be part of it, because he's, to be honest, he's doing very well. And I can see it in him. He wants it. He wants the Olympia.
I know.
And he's got the tools.
Yeah.
The whole tools he can to do it. And he's a smart kid. I like him.
I got to say, Kamal, it's very, very insightful to see your style of training, because most bodybuilders get caught up in the numbers. And I'm putting myself in that equation, because for you to think like that and train like that for so many years and not get caught up trying to compete with other guys in the gym, lift heavier weights or do lighter rep, more lower reps so they can do more weight, or train to failure so you can be the hardcore guy or any of that shit. That's very like well thought out
mindset.
And
yeah.
And I think it's very important. I think it's a really big reason as to why you're still going strong, because most guys, like, you know, if you took me or you took Guy Sestrino or you took, they want to train all the way out to the very, very end because maybe that's what they think they have to do. Or they want to train heavier because that guy trained heavier. Oh, maybe I got to train like Dorian Yates. Maybe I got to train like Ronnie Coleman. But you kind of have your own style, and it's like it's working for you. And the longevity isn't crazy. Like for you to be 51 and training with Nick Walker, I've trained with Nick. He's not easy to train with.
No, he's not.
So for you to be 51 years old and still training with Nick, it's like it's incredible to me to see. So
yeah,
congratulations. Anyway, I just want to let people know, because the other thing is, you know, the people that watch this channel are from age 20 to age 50, the majority. Yeah. So guys that are 20 and 30 are not going to understand how special what you're doing is, because I wouldn't have when I was younger. Now that I've hit 40 and I see how hard it is to train, I understand how special what you're doing is. It's insane to me.
So, it's good.
So I want to ask you, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I want to ask you I want to ask you about diet, because I know, have you stayed lean most of your bodybuilding career, or did you ever fluctuate with mass and get heavy?
No, never. Never. Yeah. All year round, I follow my diet. I eat clean. I mean, the maximum weight I bought, maybe 10 kg, 8 to 10 kg.
Yeah.
Over my weight. That's it. Not more than that. Yeah. Never. Yeah. So always eat clean. Always eat my diet. Try to be healthy as much as I can.
Yeah. I also have to commend you for that, because when I think of like your health and you see your blood work is good and everything's good, I think a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that you've never bulked hard. Like I've never seen you like big and puffy in the off season or anything like that. You're always seems to be in shape.
Yeah. 100%.
So your diet on a regular basis, is it moderate carb, more fat, less fat? How do you do it? Because I know some guys do no fat, really high carb, and some guys do more fat, a little less carb. So what is your preferred source?
No fat. I don't eat fat. You see, for example, I see some people, they say peanut butter, avocado, whatever. I never, ever have this in my diet. Never.
Really?
Never fat. I'll have like chicken, beef, fish, and my fat maybe from the egg yolks.
Yeah.
That's my fat from, which is 2 every morning.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't go and eat fat. No.
Really?
Yeah. Never. I the nuts. So you know, they say, oh, you eat like raw nuts. So eat this. That's not in my system. No.
I'm gonna stop eating fat. I'm gonna do Kamal's diet for now. I'm not gonna eat fat anymore.
Well, to be honest, I never do it. Okay, every now and then.
Yeah.
I'll have a cheat meal with my family, with my wife, she cooks or whatever, I'll have that meal. But if I have every day like peanut butter with my oats, so I'll have raw nuts, so I'll have I need avocado with this. So I don't do this shit.
Really?
No, I don't do it. No,
so
zero.
Crazy.
Zero. Yeah, man. Zero.
So what about, okay, I know Arabic food is very dense in calories. So when your wife cooks for the family, are you just eating the chicken and the rice? You're not eating anything else? You're not eating any?
No.
Nothing?
No, nothing.
What about, do your kids eat like you, or do they eat what they want?
Well, they eat what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, she cooks for them every single day. I come back from training or come back from whatever, I'll go have to get on with this with smell, and that, you know what they like. I get on with the smell, and she cooks everything for them. And to be honest, we don't go much out, because my kids don't like the food outside. There is not really, I don't know. I mean, it's not good. And my wife, she does a good cook. And then this Sunday there is we're gonna have some traditional food. And Nick is
coming. Yeah. Has Nick ever had? I don't think Nick's ever had any traditional Arabic food.
No, never. So it will be his first time. So my wife is going to be cooking. We have a Nick and some of guys from the gym. So 4 of us will be there. So my house is small. I would have invited more people, but my house at the moment is a temporary one, apartment. So hopefully until I get my, because I've just sold my house in UK, I'll be buying a house here. So when I get my bigger house, I'll be involved with more people.
What
So,
is your
but
wife?
yeah.
What is your wife making for dinner? Do you know?
She's doing rice with lamb. It's a
Oh, nice.
special. Yeah,
Yeah.
it is. They will love it. They will
Yeah.
definitely
They are
love it.
gonna love
So,
it.
yeah.
That's good.
No, it'll be good.
Kamal, there's so much I want to ask you about, man. So we'll do a couple fast ones because it's already been an hour. Do you
Yeah, no
still
worries.
own your gyms and your businesses in the UK?
Yes, I still own it.
How
Yes.
many do you have in the UK?
I have one gym in UK, Better Buddies, and I have two in Libya, which is very, very big ones. The one in Libya, they're the one making money. I have about three supplement store, and
Good for you.
I'm building the third one now in Libya.
Good
We
for you,
just
man.
signed a contract for another one, and I am the actually distributor of Precor gym equipment in Libya, and
Oh,
I
good for
got
you.
some gym equipment. I have my own line as well, K1
Yeah.
Strength. Which is that, and I have some bits and bobs as a property wise and whatever. So thank God, I'm really, really thankful. I made it. That's all from bodybuilding. Thank
Yeah,
God,
that's
bodybuilding,
incredible, man.
bodybuilding. Yes, bodybuilding has done a lot for me.
So
So that's why I feel.
you've been very smart with your money. You didn't like buy cars and buy like jewelry and buy shit. Like you've been very smart
Oh
with your
no,
money.
100%. So this is. I had my pace, what I needed. The first thing. Now, if I want to buy a car after I finish all this, I could buy a car, no problem. Buy jewelry is no problem. But the thing is, like, we kept, it's not like being tight, but we go holidays, we travel, we do. I spend for the kids. My kids, whatever they need, they have. So, but I'm not crazy with cars. Yeah, the cars, the cars, they actually, they burn the money.
They're
So you buy a
a
car with,
waste of money, I
oh, waste of money. I had a nice car. When I was in Qatar, like I was buying, like for example, Land Cruisers, whatever, brand new car, whatever. But it's not. It's that time is gone. But now I'm just like really more coming here to America for me. It's more like a retirement for me. So I did what I have to do. I just like buy now my house, and I don't have to think about anything else. Maybe I'll do a few bits and bobs to keep me going because I have to keep going. I have to. Yeah, it's not like I'm just gonna quit competing and just sit down. It's not me. I've always I'm active doing.
Do you plan on staying in the US forever, or are you going to go back and forth between the US and Libya, or do you want to move away from the
Well,
US?
to be honest, no. I think at the moment I'm gonna be here for the US for a while. My kids for the education of my kids, they loved it here. To be honest, they really, really loved this. They told me that you should have moved here a long time ago. You shouldn't stay in the UK. Well, you never know, but even my wife, she loved it here. So I think I'll be staying around here. Maybe I'll do some small business around here, just to keep me busy, probably after I quit my competitions, whatever, on stage. I don't know when, but it's because I've heard like they're gonna bring the Masters back next year, so I'll see if I fit into the Olympia Masters. It's another title to grab, so we'll see.
It's gonna
We'll see what's gonna
win
happen.
all of them. So,
We'll see.
well, I want to fast forward before you go really quickly to the open. So you jumped in the open. Well, you actually, let's go back a bit. You won the Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
Who did you beat that year? How did it feel to win the biggest show in bodybuilding?
I mean, I beat well, Derek, who comes second? Yeah, Derek second, Sean Clarida. I mean, it's the top three at the moment. Beat them, and then the list. I mean, there's a very good guys over there, but this is the most three competitive every year, like me, Sean, and Derek. For me to win the Olympia, as you know, I am the first Arab or from Middle East to win the Olympia 212. That is, and then Samir Bennout, as you know, he's the only one to win the actual Olympia, actually, not the 212, the Open Olympia. And then for me to have my name over there after like short career of a pro, it's a very, very man. It's very, very nice to me, to my family, to my country, to my crowd, and everybody's like, And I came out with a really good look as well.
Yeah.
So and then the year after I lost my title, come second, and then I come third. So I'm still in the top three Olympia. So
what year was the Olympia win?
19.
Oh, 19. I thought it was 18.
19.
Sorry.
18, I come second, third. That was Flexi's first, Derek second, and then me third.
So this is your Olympia look. Is this when you won? Yeah, 2019.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's just very, very complete. Like everything is, like your physique is. So Derek is a little bigger. Did you beat him because your conditioning was better? Or
yeah,
what was it?
Yeah, my condition. Yeah, Derek, he was a bit off. I mean, Derek, he stuck. I think always you told Derek, he stuck in between.
Yeah.
He has to suck down to look, but, and that's probably his problem.
Yeah.
So that's why I think his open class for him, maybe he will do better in open class. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's pretty incredible, man. This is a really, really good lineup. Hide
is
here.
212.
Yeah. Hide's here. I mean, Escanani. It's incredible. How old were you when you won the Olympia?
That's 2019. I was like 47, 47, yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't, okay. So you won all the titles. You're 47 years old. And now at 51, you're like, I'm going to enter the Open. How did it feel to stand on stage with the Open guys? Because that's the big show, right? So
it's a big show. That's why for me always there's a challenge.
Yeah.
And I feel good, to be honest. I felt really, really good.
Yeah.
So and I, to be honest, when I came here, I said, what shall I do? Something to make publicity, to make like you know, to do 212 is not gonna be a big deal.
Yeah,
and I've always wanted to do like an open to see myself. I mean,
yeah,
because I was like I said with the amateur days, I was competing with the overall with the big guy. And I've been doing well.
Yeah,
so it's, I think I spoke to Chris. I said I want to do an open show. He said mm-hmm. why? He said well maybe you're not going to be. I mean maybe they wouldn't want you like even. I don't think you're going to be like judged properly.
Yeah.
Because open, they always go for mass, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I'm not doing it to win. And I'm just doing it for publicity because when I do it, they're just people to know that I came here, I live here now.
Yeah.
It'll be for a business because I'm, to be honest, I'm thinking to move, sell my gym in England and I do a gym here. This is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do some more like private little gym. So I said, just for business. They said, well, if it's that, okay, we will do it. And then start training, start doing it.
But wait a minute. Was it really for business or was he part of you that really wanted to see where you would stack up?
Both.
Yeah.
I wanted
it has
to see,
to
yeah,
be.
Because to be honest, I've always get ready 3-4 weeks before the show.
Yeah.
Always get ready early because I start like my prep early.
Yeah.
And I like, I'm in like 220 or 217, 18. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm really like ready. So
yeah.
It's exactly what happened this year.
Yeah.
I was 218 at Tampa and I was 220 at the Texas Pro.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like I did it. I felt really good. I think I looked the best I've ever looked.
You look pretty phenomenal. I was in Tampa. You look phenomenal.
Yeah, with that fullness I get, whatever. I think that's me. So now go back to 212. I don't know what's going to happen.
You're going to have to suffer and get back down. So,
oh, God, yeah.
Is there any more open shows this year that you're going to do? Or are you going back to 212 Olympia?
Yeah, 212 Olympia. To be honest, even I had an interview with Bob Ciccarella. And I've told him, like, he said, will you be open? I said, if it comes just to me, because as you know, Fuad, you've got sponsor, you've got like your coach, you've got that. Is as a team. I work as a team always.
Yeah.
So I said, if it just come to me, I won the last Olympia in Vegas, which is, and then they moved here to Florida. So now they're going back to Vegas. I'm going to go back and get my title back from Vegas. I say, go back to Vegas, gets what belongs to me. So this is to me. But I will ask Chris, I will ask this. Maybe he said, because no, if you look good here, blah, blah, maybe you're not going to look good when you go back to 212, whatever.
Yeah.
And the plan is like, I wanted to get my title back. So
yeah.
Hopefully now there's no shows here. All
Yeah.
the shows are abroad. I don't want to really travel. It's done for me. Like what I said, I got what I need. I got more what I needed, to be honest. As a publicity, oh
Yeah.
my God.
Yeah,
To
I
be
know.
honest, what and you are there as
Yeah.
soon as they came out, and the visual, as soon
Yeah.
as they come out, the crowd is going crazy.
I
It's
know.
like I am in Tampa, boy. I've been here only 8 months,
Yeah.
and I've got the love from these people. I'm
Yeah.
really thankful, Tampa. It's really good. So that's what I wanted. And yeah,
Well,
I will hopefully I'll focus to 12.
I think people want, I think people live through somebody when they challenge themselves like that. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
when you say, "Hey, I'm going to go against the guy who weighs 50 pounds more than I do or 40 pounds more than I do." They're excited for you. They want to, I think people really want to see, "Hey, can this guy do this?" Like he's putting himself in a bad position and he's doing it on purpose. And he's going to, so I think they want to get behind you and see, you know, 'cause I was there too and I'm like, "Fuck, Kamal looks good, man." Like, I don't know. Do you think you beat Akeem or how do you feel about it? Or do you not get into that? You just leave it alone.
Well, to be honest, listen, I'm a bodybuilder. I'm a love of the sports, of the physiques, which is we've been seeing at the old like 80s and 90s, when it used to be like Mo Mcawee, you come second to Samir Benu, Lella Brada, all this kind. This is how I love the sport, okay? Because of this kind of physiques. I mean, to be honest, for me to beat Hakeem, I think the whole world seeing that I should have. But at the end of the day, this is the judges, what they actually see. Fair enough. All I say, accept their judgment. But to me, as a bodybuilder, I think I had him in a lot of shots. I had him in more different things, especially condition. But he is a big guy. He's a lot of muscle.
Yeah,
So
it is.
they judged as a mass monster. It's an open class. This was all about. But with a mass monster, you have to have the condition. You have to have that. You have to have it mass and condition, like what we see with the big guys. For example, Rami, he's the biggest guy. When he wasn't in points, he's never won.
True.
He came in point, he won.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
but I'm not really upset. I'm really happy for these two shows. I challenged these people, and to be honest, when I went to Texas, I have a lot of people came to me. We came to see you.
Yeah,
He's like,
no, I know. I know.
oh man, I feel really great. So for me, I'm really thankful I did what I have to do, and I got more out of it than what I was expecting.
Good for you, man. So one more question I got to ask you before you go. And I hate to ask it because you've probably been asked it a thousand times. Is this Olympia the last Olympia, or are you just going to compete until you no longer have the love for it? Like when is Kamal say 55 is enough, 50, 60? Like when do you decide to hang it up?
To be honest, for me, it's not just for me. For if it just comes to me, I'll be going. I'll go next year. I will do it because that's what I want. I mean, this time my wife, she's got really upset.
Oh, really?
Yes, she did really, really upset, especially Texas. It's like she said, "Kamal, till when? Till when they're gonna not place you the way it should be?"
Oh, she got upset that you didn't win.
Not didn't win, like I didn't get my wife like should be.
Yeah.
Yes, not yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant she was upset that you just competed. I didn't
No, no,
know.
no, 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 no.
Oh,
She
she
was
was,
upset
yeah.
because
She felt like you did better. Yeah.
it did better. Yeah,
Yeah.
she said
Yeah.
till when, because everybody can see that because she was sitting in the crowd, I said, "You need to understand." I've told her she was really upset.
Yeah.
And she's saying to me like, "Oh, that's it. You're done. You're finished. You just do this Olympia." I mean, I think if I get whatever I expected or whatever I should get fairly for the Olympia in her eyes or whatever, I think she wouldn't be a problem, because I don't like to upset her. She spent a lot of time with me. She did a lot for me, and she feels me, because you've been there for it. I mean, it's not easy. It's a selfish sport. I take a lot of time from my family. So she feels that. She says, "Come on, that's it now. You did what you have to do. If you've been like getting what you should got, that's fair enough. Fair enough. Keep going." So this is the only thing. If it just comes to me, I'll keep going, man. 60, 70, I don't care.
It's such a gentleman's answer, eh? It's all up to the wife. It's all up to the wife
Yeah.
when you.
Hey, listen, happy wife, the Dakota. Happy wife, happy wife, happy home, whatever.
That's right.
Yeah,
Happy wife,
so
happy life. That's
happy
right.
life. Yes,
That's right.
yes. Yeah.
Kamal, listen, man, I really enjoyed talking to you. I appreciate you coming on. And this is great. Thank you for answering so many of my questions. I had all these questions in my mind about the Middle East and how it works and everything. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
No, for what? I mean, like I said at the beginning, your broadcast is one of the top. There will be a lot of people watching. I'm really happy to be with you guys. And anytime, if I
Okay.
could be in your broadcast, I'd be more than happy to be there and answer whatever.
Well, maybe we'll do another quick one before you get on stage at the Olympia. Maybe we can jump on for 15 minutes and see how your prep went and all that before the
Yeah,
final, before the big day.
100%, 100%. Anytime, just let me know. I'll be there for you. No worries.
Okay.
For the whole crowd, anyway.
Okay, Kamal. Thank you so much for your
All
time,
right.
man.
Thanks, bro. Thank you so much.
Okay,
And
brother.
hopefully see you soon. Thank you, bro.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, share with your friends, and like the video. And if you get a chance, check out the description for all the different links to all the different places you can find Hostile and myself. And lastly, check out hostile.com for our new line of supplements and all of our apparel and gear. Thanks again for watching.